Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to dedicate this song here to our own evangelist, Renee. I know it's taking us back a while, but we'll go back 10, 11 years.
I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you want me to do, I can even do what I want to do. By the will of God. Truly, brothers and sisters, I never made it.
if it hadn't been for God. Some folks feel like they'd have made it because they have a business, they have jobs, they have. But despite of all that, I would have never made it if it hadn't been for the Lord. We'll ask Pastor Bill, he should give us a word of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and praise God. Amen. Thank you for that selection, Pastor. You're not alone. I never would have made it without the Lord. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Philippians 4 and verse 13. Can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, coming in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Father God, for another day, thanking you, Father God, for another time that we can come together and study your word together. Father God, we ask that you would just bless each and every one that is on this broadcast, even those that are listening by internet, Father God. Lord, we ask that you just have your way. As Pastor teaches this word, use him mightily, Father God. We bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against any of us on this broadcast and our families, Father God. We plead in the blood of Jesus on us all, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would be with all those that are sick and shut in. We know you are a healer. Your word says, by your stripes we are healed. Be with those, Father God, that are bereaved and going through. Help us to put our trust in you. And you say you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Father God, we ask that you will just have your way, Father God, and we can't do anything without you. Open up our hearts and our mind to this word, Father God, that we will continue in the word of God, walk according to your will, Father God, that you may have your way in our life. Holy Spirit, you're welcome on this broadcast and in our lives to teach us and open up our hearts to the word. Your way, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. Well, brothers and sisters, we are talking about developing, and I don't want y'all just take that word as just a word, but look at the whole word itself, what it really means to develop. And if you want to take it as a seed, you can do that, or you can take it as a sperm that have been dropped in a woman and go from that point to someone, for a better way of saying it, 21 years of age. Take 21 years of development and look at what happened. So when we talk about developing integrity, that's what we're talking about. We ain't talking about a one-day thing. We're talking about what it takes to develop to become fully grown. When you become a person who are after meat and not milk. See, everybody is not ready for meat. A lot of people just ready for milk, especially when you don't know who you are or whose you are. And that's very important. So you have to see the areas you're developing in, because when I think about development, a lot of times people don't always develop properly. Sometimes people develop, and I hate to use this word, but it's true. You know, sometimes people get retarded. Tarnation set in. Sometimes people don't always grow to the full potential. I know old folks used to say, smoking would stop your growth and stopped a lot of people from growing. They didn't get fully developed. They could have been 6'2", but they end up 5'9" because they start smoking. And some people say because people didn't exercise or didn't eat the proper food. You can get a lot of reports, and that's why they didn't fully develop. And they use countries like Africa and other to show where those babies got big belly stomachs and underdeveloped lands. And but we're talking about developing in the area of being like Christ, to come into that full stature. So we're talking about full development here. And part of that is integrity. It's integrity.
Yeah.
It's being honest. It's being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
It's being right. See, in everything, not just something, but in everything. So for that to take place, let me tell you the first thing you have to do. You have to put the word of God first. The word has to prevail. It has to prevail. There has to be, so everybody be on the same page. When I'm talking about prevailing, I'm actually talking about being triumphant. I'm talking about conquering. Yeah, overcoming.
Yeah.
So when I talk about prevailing, I'm talking about truly allowing the word of God to be first place in your life. I'm not talking about struggling. I'm talking about being victorious. I'm not talking about being slow. This is not a washout here. This is victory.
All right. Amen.
You know, I want you to understand the word of God has to prevail. It has to carry you through. If sink or swim, I'm on the word of God. It has to be the word of God. So with those pointers, keep that in mind as we discuss this, because, see, this is the same thing with every great man or woman of God. They had one thing in common, and I can give you a list of things, but they all had one thing in common, and yes, it was obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, we got to walk in that. We left off yesterday talking about walking in God's word. And if you're going to walk, no one can walk without obedience to the word of God. You got to beat to his tune. You got to walk to his tune.
Amen.
You didn't hear lots about obedience, but brother and sister, let me tell you what. You have to walk in obedience. That's what Noah did. I think I'll give you a couple of scriptures. In Genesis 6 and 9, let's see here. We're gonna ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read that out the King James Version. Genesis 6 and 9. Okay. Are you with us, Evangelist Sharon? Okay.
Hello.
I don't know where she. It says these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God.
Amen. From the Message Bible, story of Noah. Noah was a good man, a man of integrity in his community. Noah walked with God. Amen.
See, he was perfect in his generation. What made him perfect? Because he was just. The word just means right. He did the right thing. He had integrity, and he obeyed God's word, okay? While we're there in Genesis, why don't we trip on down to, what was that, Genesis 6. How about let's go to 5? Look at Genesis while we're there. We'll go to Genesis 5. And I'll have to find this scripture, brothers and sisters, so y'all hang in there with me. I think it was in verse 24. Verse 24. And Noah walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hallelujah.
Amen. From the Message Bible. 5:24. Enoch walked steadily with God, and then one day he was simply gone. God took him. Amen.
Yeah. It don't say how long, but I like to think it was over 500 years that he walked with God. So those little 2-3 years, 20 years, 40 years, don't mean nothing, brother and sister. This man had to walk in obedience for over 500 years. Think about
it. Yeah.
I don't know if we can make it. I don't know who can make it today if they had to actually walk in obedience to the word of God. Didn't matter what nobody said. Didn't matter what science said. Didn't matter what his wife said. Didn't matter what no one else said. Enoch walked with God. And for that reason, God took him. Now, on the other hand, Adam had walked with God, but he broke his walk. He started listening to other spirits. See, a lot of people, they don't realize there's different levels of spirits. And just like Adam walked with God, well, how do I know that? Because Genesis 3 and 8 said, he walked with God. We'll read that. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among trees of the garden.
Amen. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. Amen.
So you see, Adam, he broke his walk with God because he started listening to other spirits. Brother and sister, that's why it's real important that you listen to the right spirit. So the Bible says, try the spirit by the spirit and see if it be of God. That is like so important. Because you don't want to get out of your walk with God. You start listening to the wrong spirit. I shared this with Pastor Marilyn this morning. And I was sharing with her, it really is from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I had touched on a little bit of it. And I knew the Lord was bringing me there for a reason, because I talked to Sister Sharon this morning a little bit, too. But when Pastor Marilyn called me, this is what we had to discuss, because, just let me make the point. The point is, brothers and sisters, in Ephesians 6, I want to go to the 10th verse, and we'll read down from the 10th verse. I'm trying to get my computer here going. Okay, it said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. Because you have to be strong in God's stuff. So you can, just like he tells you to be strong. Well, let me read it first, and then we'll go over it. He says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet sold with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I read to the 17th verse.
Amen. In the Message Bible. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best material, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up thing the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. Same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, brothers and sisters, Satan ain't playing. He got him on every corner. You're dealing with weapons of mass destruction. This is no joke. Satan is real. And you have to come to realize that we're fighting a spiritual war. And I was sharing with Pastor Marilyn this morning. We're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So that's one thing in the spirit world you have to know. You have to know who these principalities are and get a clear understanding of that. We're wrestling against these different powers. I'm talking to the spirit person now. We're wrestling against the rulers of darkness of this world. See, this world, understand, that's why I keep telling y'all, look up, see what the word world means. Before you go any farther into your new life, you need to understand what the word world means. He said, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of wickedness that goes on in the spiritual world. And just like Adam was, that's what caused him to walk in disobedience. Because he was operating in wickedness. See, trying to make right, wrong, right. It don't work that way, brothers and sisters. You have to let the word of God prevail. So that's the difference. Noah, he walked with God. You know why? Because he kept the word of God. He just, whatever God said to do, I'm cool with it. He obeyed the word of God. Enoch,
mm-hmm.
he walked with God. And Adam walked
yeah.
with God for a while until he
yeah.
allowed these spirits to tell him what to do and what not to do. So
mm-hmm.
when we read over here in Romans, and Abraham too, I can give you a good illustration of how the word of God prevailed over there in Abraham. You got to let the word of God prevail over everything, your daily life, your daily walk.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You don't get to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's why you got to put the whole armor of God on. You don't get to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It'd be nice if you could, but that's not happening. We're not
that's
fighting
right.
against flesh and blood. You have to get out of that mindset. If it's flesh, it's flesh, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Get above
yeah.
that and start dealing
mm-hmm.
with some of these spiritual things that is before you from a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how spiritual. In Romans 4:17, I'm trying to get to this part here. In Romans 4:17, I want you to see, you got to, brothers and sisters, before I go there, let me say this, please. You got to let the word of God prevail over sickness, over disease, over whatever you think. You got to let the word of God be first above everything. How I know that? Because the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away before the word. So by you put the word first place, can I say this one more time?
Mm-hmm.
By you put the word of God first place, what's going to trump it? Nothing. Nothing over here.
Oh,
scientists, I don't care how much education, I don't care whatever going trending today. See, what trending today wasn't trending when God said, let there be light. That wasn't trending. The word of God had already. So actually, what we're doing now, we're living what's already been said and done. That's, we're
mm-hmm.
walking in that. That's what
yeah.
we're doing. We're walking in that phase of your life. Your life was already laid out, and there was two paths. You can live in the spirit or you can live in the flesh. God let you
mm-hmm.
have that. That's why he said you're a blessed man is one who lives in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Okay. But over in Romans, mm-hmm. or one that lives by the word of God, that's when you know you're showing up living in the spirit because you're living by the word of God. He said, the words I say, they are spirit and they are life. So because somebody
yes.
say they're living in the spirit, don't mean they're living in the spirit because they say
mm-hmm.
it. Because you say you park your car in a garage, don't make your car a bicycle. And because you park your bicycle in a garage, don't make your bicycle a car.
All right.
I better say that.
Amen.
So everybody agrees. See, because you park your car, your bicycle, in a garage, because that's where your car goes. So you park your bicycle there. It doesn't make it a car because you parked it in the garage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, because you say that doesn't mean that you got to have something to back it up. You got to have substance. So
yeah.
when Abraham was talking about the promise of God, he had the word of God. When Jesus
mm-hmm.
was talking, he had the word of God. They allowed
mm-hmm.
the word of God to prevail. And I'm going to show you this, and we're going to read a couple of scriptures to show you this. Okay. In Romans 4:17, I just want you to see
mm-hmm.
the word of God has to prevail over and over. I don't care about Sarah being 100. I don't care about Abraham being a Sarah. Scientifically, it ain't possible. But when you let the word of God prevail, it becomes possible. And
amen.
Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Catch that. It is written. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he may become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And the 19th verse says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, we call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture, God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many people? Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live on not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and said, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Amen, amen.
See, and let me point out three things before I finish this scripture. First of all, is an assurance of things hoped for. Now, look at what Abraham was dealing with. The Bible says Abraham had to believe against hope. Now, before I tell y'all the rest of the story, I know people personally. I can tell you what they told me. I know people who wasn't supposed to get jobs, but they got them. In the medical field, I'm not going. I know people. This is the truth. That wasn't supposed to get a check, but they get one every month. I know people who, because they believe God and they walked in obedience. See, Satan don't want you to keep that mindset. But I know somebody right now living in a house. Their credit score was less than 400. They didn't have to pay nothing down. They didn't have to pay nothing down. And their credit score went from 4 to 7-something. I think like 720, 750.
They
believe God. I know somebody right now riding in a car that they weren't supposed to have according to society way of thinking. But because they believe God for the impossible. See, there's no need to believe in God for to pay your rent when you got a job.
All right.
You just need to be a good steward of your money. But how about believing God when you don't have a job and you can't make the payment?
All right.
You have is his word. So you go find a word and let that prevail over your thinking. See, Abraham, he didn't focus. He didn't focus as much on the body parts as it sounded like he did. Now, you got to go back and read this thing carefully. He said, first of all, as it is written, I may be father. I have given you my word, Abraham, that you're going to be the father of many nations. So shut up and let's be about this. And the Bible says that's what he had. He had the word of God. He allowed the word of God to prevail over his way of thinking. So what happened was his body became alive, that dead body. And Sarah's body, too. Now, she was of age. You know, she was no longer that strutting peacock that she once was, that they was going to kill Abraham about. She was no longer that beautiful, beautiful woman that they was about to take Abraham's head because they was killing everybody that had a pretty wife. And Abraham said, hey, Sarah, tell them I'm your brother. You know, you're my sister. Tell them that, Sarah. And Sarah told him, and the Pharaoh was about to believe that mess. But because of his integrity with God, he didn't do it. See? But anyway, that's another story altogether. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The man was believing against hope. He believed in hope that he might. Now, there was no hope. Now, I don't know if y'all understand that physically. But physically, when you get 100 years old, especially a man, they say it started at 40, ED and JD. Anyway, we won't go there, but I'm just trying to tell you, a whole lot of stuff happening, something got to happen. Well, I'm going to put this in a real nice way.
All right.
Divine intervention happens at 100 with a female and a male.
All right.
It was like he had no hope. But yet, because he had no hope, he believed in hope.
Yes.
Well, why did he believe? He believed because what God's word had said. That's what made him believe.
Yeah.
He was weak in faith, the Bible said, because he considered his own body dead. Now, I can't do nothing. Well, nothing happened here. Ain't nothing happening downstairs right now.
All right. Say that.
Same thing with Sarah. But the word of God, they put first place in their life, and they didn't struggle. Yeah. They didn't strive against the word of God. They believed it above everything. Got to read this story. And notice that sentence. The Bible says, who in hope believed against hope. How you going to be in hope and believe against hope?
That's all right.
That the Indian may become the father of many nations. But he believed it. He acted on the word of God. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You got to act on the word of God. You got to look at the promises of God. This promise was spoken through an angel, but he didn't waver through unbelief, but through his faith got stronger through faith, and he began to give God glory. See, that's when you know you're trusting in God, because in the midst of troubles, you began to give him the glory. But anyway, you have to, now I know people say, oh, well, that was Jesus. Well, go back to Acts 6 and 7. It tells us that the word of God increased as they preached and practiced what they had heard from the master's lips. Just stop practicing the word of God. Just don't hear it.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people, they want to minister the word. They want to read the word. But they won't let the word become first place. The word is eternal, brother and sister. The word of God was here before anything your optical nerves see. The word of God was already here. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Why? Because it's part of God. It's who God is. So God ain't passing away. He ain't going nowhere.
Amen. Amen.
when Philip spoke to Jesus, he said, show us the Father. He said, what? He said, show us the Father. He said, you mean I've been with you so long and you don't know who I am, Philip? He said, show me the Father so I can believe like that. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Listen, brothers and sisters, when you've seen the Word of God, you've seen the Father, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But anyway, next week, and now I'm going to give you all a few minutes if anybody have anything to say. But hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about the Word makes us love. And we want to talk about the Word makes us conquerors. So you become a conqueror once you begin to hear and recognize the voice of God. Whatever the situation is, God wants you to be a conqueror over that. You conquered that. But you did it through the Word of God. So don't walk in unbelief. Allow the Word of God to prevail. It will win. I'll tell you that right now. You will be a winner. It may look bad in the beginning, but once you allow the Word of God, it will be triumphant in your life. It will win. Prevail, that's what it really means. It means to win.
Amen.
But anyone else have anything to say, we're going to give you 5 minutes to comment, because I know a lot of times people want to say something right before, while it's still hot, instead of waiting till Sunday. So if anybody have anything to say, press 1 or just you can hold it to Sunday or hold it to Thursday. But if you have anything to say.
Amen. I like to read that passage out of the New Living Translation, Pastor, Romans 4:17-20. And it reads, that is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger in this he brought glory to God. Amen. Because of his faith.
Yes. See, what he did is this, brothers and sisters, he kept the Word in the forefront of his thinking. And that's what we got to do. Always put the Word of God first. It's okay if you don't know it. Just don't dilute the Word of God to man's standard. Don't make the Word of God become like the four-footed beast or like something creeping or like man. Stop letting the Word of God be less than man. I forget what Pastor Melon said this morning. She said something that really got my attention on the subject. And I think it was because she said that, let me see what, but anyway, here's what it comes down to, brothers and sisters. You got to keep the Word of God forefront. According to Deuteronomy 4:6, you got to keep the Word of God forefront. You got to let the people know, Proverbs 3:5-6, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You just got to believe that God's bigger than whatever it is. I like that song that sister sang. God bigger than that. You got to know that God bigger than whatever you're dealing with.
Amen.
I know people right now, they're out of jail because they make the word of God bigger than that. I know people right now, well, that sister Renee, don't make me call her up here. She put the word of God bigger than what her eyes saw. Her eyes saw flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, the doctors had told her that wasn't going to work. One of those skin going to grow there. Let's cut this thing off. See, you can't live by what you see, brothers and sisters. You got to put the word of God. Let it prevail. Now, that's another thing. You have to do that. That's something you have to do.
Yes.
That's why he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. So where your strength at? Is it in the Lord or is it in your head? Big difference, see? But you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Amen.
Okay. This thing bothered me now. I'm going to ask Pastor Marilyn. I know I should have asked her first, but she probably, let me see if she... Pastor Marilyn, do you remember that scripture we were talking about this morning?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It was John 14.
That's what it was, John 14. Thank you so much. That was in John 14. It said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And one of the things, a lot of people don't, well, I'll go find it right quick. But when he was telling the people not to worry, but believe in him, because he was going to prepare a place for us. And he said, when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. See, that's what you got to believe. Why? Because that's what the word of God said. He said, now, you're not going to know where I go. He said, but believe this. I'm going to go, and you won't know. And where I go, you won't know. And Thomas wanted to know, Lord, we don't know whether you're going and don't know how you're going. And Jesus said to him, I'm the way, though. And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. You won't be to the Father unless you come through me. That shows you right there is another level of spirituality that you have to actually go through Jesus for you. You can pray to the Father all day long. Now, this is a mind blower right here. You can pray to the Father all day long. But for the Father to answer you, he got to go through Jesus. That's the order. He got to go through Christ.
Amen.
He said, now, if you've known me, you've known the Father also. And henceforth, you know him and you've seen him. But,
excuse me, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Go ahead.
We were talking about how he said that, he said, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you. He said, believe on me. But he was saying, he said, if it were not so, then I would have told you. And so it was like, okay, to me, if he's saying, you know, believe what I say, and whatever I say, you know, that's what you'll have. And I said, I make that very personal because it's like he's speaking to me, telling me, you know, he's telling me, I love you. And you say, okay, well, do you love me, Lord? And he said, yes, I love you. But if I never believe that he loved me, then I'll never take that in. It will never emanate in my heart. So I have to believe what he says. So he said, believe what I say, you know. So I believe what he says, and I take that very personal that he said, if it was not so, I would have told you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Amen.
But anyone else? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Oh. Thank you so much, Pastor Marilyn. Pastor, you had anything you'd like to share?
Oh, I just stand in agreement with that. With what she was saying. Amen. The Message Bible reads that it says, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? And then it said, trust me, there is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And you already know the road I'm taking. So that just reassures us. So just piggyback what Pastor Marilyn was saying. Praise God.
Yeah. She said she enjoyed you Sunday, too. I might have told you that. Anyway, she said she enjoyed the word coming from you.
Thank you.
I want to say one thing to this scripture right here, because I was reading in this little commentary, and it was saying, in my Father's house are many mansions. See, they were saying the mansion was the part that they found hard to believe. If he had said a room, well, it wouldn't have been too bad. If he had said a house, it wouldn't have been too bad. But for the mere fact, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, now, if it wasn't God, told you that. So they was having problem believing that one of those mansions belongs to them.
Yeah.
See, that's what, and in that book, it was saying, and I don't believe that. I believe that it just, what it says is what I believe. He said mansions. Mansions have, some of them have five bathrooms to, some of the ones I've seen, five bathrooms to five bedrooms. And some of them have eight bathrooms to five bedrooms. Depending on how many, then they got a guest bathroom, they got hallway bathroom. So mansions is huge. But a house, you know, they may have one, may have two, they may have, some of them have one. So that's what this book was saying. But then my mind goes back to what the Word of God said, and that Jesus said, I'm preparing this for you right now, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Well, Thomas couldn't get to all of this. Like a lot of people are doubters right now. They doubt the Word of God over situation. But if you're going to get healed, you're going to be obedient to the Word of God. You're going to have to take it personally. You're going to have to take it personally. And that's a good thing, because that's what Noah did when he walked with God. That's what Enoch did. That's what Abraham did. And the list goes on and on. These people took it personally. And Solomon really took it personally. And David took the Word of God personally. So, and I could take the New Testament and show you Paul took it personally. But you have to know that the Word of God should be personal, because he tells you to live in it, and it lives in you. But thank you all so much. If nothing else, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word.